Welcome to Lending a Hand with your host, Keaton Lender.
All right, we recording, but by the way, really like that. Thank you, Suki. Appreciate you coming on the podcast. I've been so pumped to have you on here for a minute. You got video on my end, right?
Yes.
All right, good. Cheers for
you
that,
got video
brother.
On my end?
Got it. Looks good, too. I like that purple, bluish background. You can see your studio in the back. That looks good, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
So, hey, before we get started, obviously, I've been really excited to get you on the show, but tell everybody a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what you're about.
My name is Sukiyomi. I am from North Carolina, Havelock Military Base, where I was born. As far as what I'm about a lot of things, but mostly just having fun and unity. You know, I do have like an aggressive mentality towards achieving shit. And it gets a little overwhelming for myself and a little intense with other people sometimes. But I feel like it's needed. So, like, aside from the music and what I do for, you know, when I'm making music for the kids in the hospital or when I'm out the charity events, just, you know, giving and stuff, like, there are times where I can be extremely, erratic, don't know what word to put right there. It's a crazy deal.
Man, that's why I wanted you on the show. Like, the way we connected, it was so random. Like, we met each other at this gym called Hot Works. Shout out. You're welcome for the free info, Hot Works. But we immediately vibed. Like, I knew it right then and there. And I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while now. Because
fun and unity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. And two Arkansas kids, like, we need to show how we can help people. The whole premise of lending a hand here, which it's you heard, which, by the way, you are, if you heard the beginning of this episode, you created this soundtrack, this intro for
me. Oh, yeah, the intro.
Which, by the way, I've gotten a lot of feedback on. Everybody's loving it, man. No joke. Like, they're like, who made that? I'm like, I got this guy named Suki. I can't really spell his name, but I'm going to drop it in the comments on YouTube and on Spotify where we would drop this. So I'm really excited to have you on the show. Talk a little bit of music, a little bit of culture, and, you know, whatever else is on your mind. But
thank you.
Thank you for coming on, man. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for inviting me.
Shoot.
Where you want to start with the music?
Man, okay, so about you. You're a rapper. You're an artist.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, we were just talking about this off the air. You got about 35,000 people that follow you, whether that's...
Right now, across all platforms. That's Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram,
SoundCloud,
Spotify, YouTube, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll drop all of those links for sure when we do this, because I appreciate you coming on here.
Appreciate you having me. I'll be sure to share.
Thank you, man. The whole premise of the show, Lending a Hand, which people think it's like supposed to be spelled L-E-N-D. It's L-I, because it's my last name, Lender. But right. The whole premise is to help people with...
I'm guilty of misspelling that.
No, everybody is, man. I'm trying to figure out what I should do to... Maybe I should change it up. Maybe I need to change my last name. Who knows? But the whole premise is to help people. And when I have guests on here, like yourself, mm-hmm. and you're very skilled in what you do, and you're good at it, man. I've heard your music, and
thank you.
The numbers speak for themselves. You're on the rise, and you're only 20 years old, right, bro?
Just turned 21, May 26th.
Just happy late birthday. That's hence why we're drinking a little wine here on the show. We're legal. Have a good time. This is also an interesting time, and we're going to get to a bunch of stuff because this is an interesting time in everybody's life with COVID, with, you know, riots, with Black Lives Matter going on. Obviously, if you can't tell, Suki over here, although that blue background is, it may take away from his, he's a black man. So I'm very excited to hear his perspective on a lot of things. And we're going to get into some uncomfortable conversations that I think need to be had with people, you know? And I hope we can help people with that. So let's start with music first. Respect, man. Let's start with music first, though. And just go with it wherever you want to go, because this is your show. But what tips do you have for people that are into music, that are ready to make music, that are trying to build their following? Like, any suggestions you have? Because I know you've already helped me. So I want to hear.
Into music, ready to make music, first things first. And I recommend this by far. And you, with your podcast, you already know this. Have your own damn equipment and be able to work it like a professional. Not be able to kind of work it and get your samples off. I mean, have your own equipment and be able to manufacture really high quality shit. That's going to be the key to keeping your production costs low and then keeping your profit margins high once you start selling good.
Yeah.
Because you ain't got to pay nobody to produce. You are the producer. You know? So if you're producing all the work and then you have a team of producers assisting you in producing the work, all y'all got to do is sell now. But if you're spending time trying to go use somebody else's studio, use somebody else's microphone, find somebody else who can engineer, and they're going to tax you for that. They're going to tax you for the rent of the equipment. They're going to tax you for service. They're going to tax you for mix, master, might even tax you for distribution if you're trying to get into a deal. It just depends on where you're going as far as music. But like, anybody doing good business or great business or even just minutely profitable business knows, buy low, sell high. And if you can buy one time and never buy again, that's the best way. I can buy one time, never buy again, and then sell forever.
Hell yeah.
So
I firmly believe that. Like, and I take this podcast as an example. Like, I don't have the best equipment. I've got a mic, but there's $400 mics out there I could go buy, but it's not practical for what I'm doing. Because I'm trying to build that audience, you know?
I'll be straight up. I have really high quality work with audio. I'm still working on getting my visuals where I want them. People love them, and you know, they call them, you know, quality is, you know, what do they say? The beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You feel me? So a lot of fans, just because they have that intrinsic value of liking me, will like pretty much not whatever I do, but most things that I do, you know? And low quality, more quality sometimes. You feel me? Just be raw and authentic, and people will love that shit. So you don't really need you don't need the best equipment starting out. You just need equipment so you can produce and start pushing your shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you will get better as you go, because anything worth doing great is worth doing wrong in the beginning.
Man.
So
preach it. That's you know, so important. You got to fuck up a few times in order to get better.
Look, I had a track called Wolf when I was about 14 years old. And I remember somebody being like, damn, bro, your bars are really hard in my left ear. And I was like, what? Didn't even notice that all of it was coming through on the left side. And I was like, why is that? Now, I never have that issue. I understand stereo panning. I understand stereo width and stereo depth. And I understand how to control the stereoscopic space when I'm manipulating sound. But that's completely besides the fact. I'm 6-7 years in now.
And I was literally going to transition to that, you know, Suki. Which I'll spell that out later, but he's been doing this since he was 14 years old, right?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
About 13, 14 years old.
13, 14. And so while you're only 21 right now, that shows a lot of character for you. You're committed, man. And we've had multiple conversations. I love your passion for what you're doing, and that comes out. And that's why I wanted you on this show, to just help other people that are passionate. Like, I had a conversation with a gentleman today, Kenneth, and he was trying to get into this industry, but I kept telling him, man, you gotta match your ambition with your ego. Like, so many people
match
think they're great
ambition singers. With your ego and match it with your work ethic.
Absolutely. Like, you can't expect to be Jay-Z and work 2 hours a day. Won't happen.
You can't expect to be Jay-Z, look in the mirror and think you're dirt.
You can't even expect to be like somebody coming up and work 2 hours a day. Those people put in the freaking work.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing that.
And a lot of it, I'm not going to lie to you, for anybody listening, A lot of that work that goes into overtime is mm-hmm. unseen. It's unheard, and it's unforgiving, and it's unthankful. There is no praise. There is nobody patting your back. There is no magic feeling of, wow, we're getting shit done. If anything, you're probably highly getting ignored. And that's okay. Because it's like, and this is why I have a high affinity with lightning. And it's because by the time lightning strikes, the process that the atoms have to go through before you even see the lightning has happened back and forth over and over again before you even see the lightning. It's the lightning struck before it struck. You just now see it.
I like
that. Crazy thing is, you'll see it before you hear it.
I like that 100%. You feel me? Yeah, I do. Because people don't do. They just talk about doing it. They think about it, and they don't do the shit that they need to do.
You may feel unheard. You may feel unseen, okay? Your roars may not be as loud. Your flash may not be as flashy. But if you keep connecting like the atoms, nobody's going to see the connection. You just got to keep the connection going. And eventually, you're going to get that flash that's super bright. Eventually, after that flash hit, people going to be like, whoa, what's that? And then the sound comes and the roar comes and it's like, ah. And it's that's striking like
lightning. Want the sound. They want the roar, but they don't
Everybody
have
the wants the roar, but they don't want to do what the atoms got to do to make the lightning strike so the roar can happen.
Damn. Hey, I was just pointing the phone at you, by the way, because I went Facebook Live. I want to see if we get any questions on there.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
I wish I could. I don't have the technology. I guess I have the technology, but I just went on my phone. We're on my laptop mm-hmm. right now. So I want to see if we get some questions regarding Suki here, who's on us on our podcast right now. And he's a rapper. He's an artist. And so I want to see if we get some questions from them. But regardless, we're going to continue this show. But
for sure.
Man, I could not agree more. People just, and it is unbelievable. And I've always got this vibe from you, and that's why I really connect with you. It's like, you're a doer. Like, mm-hmm. we can brainstorm. That's important. But we can't think about it for 4 weeks straight. We got to just.
Oh, that shit irritates me.
Just get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so important. And
so you were talking about growing. After getting into the business, you're talking about growing your work. And now, this is going to be the most cliche shit to begin with. But networking and connecting. And it's not just, I'm gonna drop a gem here, all right? It's not just favor for a favor. Mm-hmm. It's deeper than that. But if you want to go deeper than favor for a favor, you should probably start with favor for a favor.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, you're the prime example of that. Like, you made this intro for our show, which I'd love to play it again for people because I feel like they need to hear it. Hold on.
You can't play the intro in the middle of the show. It's not an intro then.
Oh, we can. We're doing it. Okay. So that was like 14 seconds long. I really think that, no, I had to play that because that's important for, you gave that to me for free.
I did.
And I appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
And I hope I can give you the exposure back. Favor for a favor.
Everything counts. And I actually want to go ahead and break something down right now because you literally just epitomized something that I said 15 seconds ago. That beat was made when I was 14. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did not get the skill to speak the way I speak and sound the way I sound and engineer the way I engineer until this many years later. Okay? That beat was made when I was 14, though. Therefore, I connected, put in that work. I connected with you, didn't even ask or suggest anything. And at a point when you needed something, I already had it ready to give because now you see me. And now I can speak on it and give it to you, and now you hear me. And now that we're podcasting, we're being heard. But, you know, I'm not going to say that had I not made the beat years earlier, I couldn't have made a beat right now and, like, done it for you right then. But it took a whole lot of pressure out of getting the work done when over half the work was already done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree, man. I could not. I love it, too, because you've been put in the work for years. And I think this is why I'm excited to have you on, because in a few years, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's 10 years. I think when you blow up, I'm going to go, this guy, look at him. I had him on my podcast. I knew it. I saw it. We vibed already.
And you know what? I want to put a term on that statement, blow up. Okay. For anybody watching, especially if you're trying to gain an audience, do not look to blow up, because when you look to blow up, it sort of implies that you want a one shot.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, and once you get that one shot, whether you make it or miss it, you kind of are betting your all on, like, I need to blow up. Instead, it's a lot wiser to have a consistent growth plan.
Agree, man.
You know, a consistent growth plan creates multiple moments of you blowing up, creating multiple viral moments at a time in different social spaces, over time, across time. And these little blow-ups make the big blow-up. And then when that big blow-up happens, you just start getting compound interest on everything you did. You blow up again, and you blow up again, and you blow up again. Just look at Drake. The man has mastered continuously blowing himself up. He didn't blow up once. He blew up again and again and again and again.
From Degrassi to his very first album to
every album afterwards.
Yeah. What is he now?
He co-produced movies. TV series, I think now. Yeah. He probably has had his hand in some movies, but I know for sure he had his hand
in Euphoria. Behind the scenes.
And Euphoria was magical as far as the TV series goes. But yeah, so having a consistent growth strategy, something that you can put in place and track, where you don't just wake up one morning and realize you got a lot of numbers on your shit and be like, wow, I did it and don't know what to do with it. You know, if you have a consistent growth strategy that you implement, and I prefer, just to be completely clear with everybody, you can Google and look up Twitter automation, Facebook ad marketing and automated ad marketing, and bot marketing, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It basically allows your accounts to act as a human would in the most minimal ways and attract attention to yourself. Now, that's a part of attracting attention. Next is promotion and marketing. Marketing is how you're going to get seen, what people are going to think when they see you.
Attention.
Promotion is you pushing what's being seen.
Sharing the post.
Exactly. So once you have the attraction systems set up, be aware of what your marketing looks like. Because if you're aware of your marketing, you're aware of how you're being perceived by the people who see you. Once you're aware of your marketing, be aware of, now that you have people seeing you and you are controlling what they're seeing, how will you promote? How will you get this in front of them over and over and over again? How will you collect them into a database so you can now reach them across all platforms without having to attend to one platform or have your data controlled by a platform? How can you get the data off of the platform? Mm-hmm. And cheat code for that, you want to go from social to SMS and email, okay? If you can start up on social and then switch to SMS and email, also when you sell merchandise.
By the way, what do you mean by SMS emails? Just so break that down for people that don't understand.
Text messaging and emails. Text messaging and emails. So let's say this is...
I'm converted. By the way, I'm on your text messaging service.
Yes.
I've seen it. You're doing a great job at that. 98% open rates within the first 5 minutes. That's why text messaging is so important. And if you can get Slackline, or there's so many services you can use, text messaging is the wave of the future. Freaking screw emails. I mean, emails work a little bit, but they're 10% open rates. You know, we always get...
They're 10% open rates, but there's something I've noticed about emails.
Yeah.
There are certain people in this world, and it's usually of a more professional caliber, who attend to their emails about more than they do their phone. Mm-hmm. So they'll click your phone, they'll click the message, but because they're so, I guess, into their profession or running their emails, they're not really attentive as to what is in the message. But then those same people will hit me back in the email, and instead of replying in the text message, they'll reply in the email.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've noticed, as I break down who those people are, they're usually above 30. They usually have higher professional rates in their life, like the work they do and the amount they get paid and, you know, where they live at. Mm-hmm. It's usually my more, I'm not going to say higher end, but older crowd with more financial stability and more profession in their life who attend to those emails. So if you're a young person, and a young person in a young person's game can use young people to leverage themselves, but you're going to need those older people. You're going to need people who already have friends in high places who can get you connected.
That goes off what you said earlier with taking the time to, and networking, I feel like that word is kind of out of date because, and it's not, it is out of date, but we need to come up with a new word. Maybe we can do it right here and right now, but like responding to messages. I respond to every single message, and I've got about 20,000 followers across the board. You've got about 35,000, and I bet you're very similar. You respond to every message that people send you, you know?
Every single one. That's networking. And this is more important, not just responding, but genuinely responding. Genuinely. Inquisitively responding. And not just inquisitively responding, but responding with peak curiosity. Because if you don't respond with peak curiosity, you could have a bland conversation or a potential big thing be a small thing because you downplayed it. You know, had you not been curious about me and I had not been curious about you, we wouldn't have felt the need to create things together and move forward together. You know, curiosity, whether it's friendships, relationships, work life, sex life, curiosity is what moves things forward. It's what moves civilization forward. We were curious about what the dirt did when the sun hit it and the water was mixed with it and what the light did when the fire hit and when the lightning strikes. Like, science and civilization is because of curiosity. So if you want to build something, be curious. If you want to build something with people, be curious about the people you talk to.
Don't you think that's a little bit of the problem? Because I want to meet some of this with a little bit of a, you know, I want to meet this kind of like to help other people. But I feel like that might be the problem with a lot of people is we're not curious enough. And maybe that's the school system that doesn't teach us to be curious or what not. But
we need to be more curious. I would say in the information age, people feel like they know everything.
Let me grab my phone over here. I know everything, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. By
the way, here, everybody. Here's Suki, that blue background. I got him.
Hey.
I'm on Facebook Live, y'all. Ask some questions. I see a few of you joining.
But, yes, in the information age, people are so in tune with everything on social media, they just think they know everything because they've seen a lot. And they haven't actually seen anything worth value. They've just seen a lot. You know, you got a lot going up your feed, your Twitter feed, your Facebook feed, your TikTok feed, your Snapchat feed, you know, your Instagram feed. There's all these feeds you're being fed and you're digesting bullshit and you think you know what you think you know, but you don't really know anything. And you see all these people and you have a preconceived notion of who they are, what they do, or how they live. So you just assume your position and their position and you never question it. And then boom, you're not curious.
Oh, man, that's powerful. That's truth. We're all guilty of that at some point or another.
Oh, yes.
That's ego, right?
Even myself.
That's what ego does to us. We're all smart individuals. Everybody on this planet has Google. We all have a smartphone, but it's really about having that connection, that communication with people to build a relationship. And I believe that as AI, you mentioned like artificial intelligence a little bit earlier, and I work with an artificial intelligence company, but as AI becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, that's going to help humans because the humans that will win, they will value relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important to me. And I know that's important to you because you've consistently reached out to me and vice versa, but I'm worried about society that we're losing that touch. You know, I'm worried.
And you know, to sort of like draw this back to our main point, It's this obliviousness or hyper-awareness of how you create relationships and connect with people that's going to determine your growth. So you get into the music or you get into whatever you want to do and you buy the means of production so you can produce, so you're not outsourcing your productions and trying to overpay and then undersell, you know? And then you build your system for attracting people. But then you have to retain these people and optimize these people and move something forward. You have to build a movement with these people. And if you're not genuinely curious, if you're not hyper aware, if you choose to stay oblivious to these relationships and these potentialities, you know, I feel alone every other day, you know? But when I drop a project and it's going out to thousands of people and then my socials get flooded with people telling me how much they fuck with me, it reminds me real quick, like, oh yeah, you've been feeling alone and you've been feeling kind of crazy, but you're not.
But you're not. No. I get it,
but
man.
People let this feeling overcome them and they succumb to it. And it chooses, it makes them stand still. I just dropped the Dog Fox Leash Project.
That's powerful, bro.
And the Dog Fox Leash Project right now, that's out. It's the EP. You can go get it on Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud, everywhere.
Merch play it soon. Here if you want to.
Coming soon. No need to play it right now. We can
good.
Tap into
it's
it.
It's good, y'all. It's good.
Thank you.
Check it
we
out.
Can tap into it later. But when I was making this project, I made this project about 2 or 3 years ago. Actually, I made this project when I was about 17, 16, 17. So about three, four years ago now. And this is still me going through, you know, my breakups and stuff. But Zans for My Ex 2016 was about failed relationships, okay? Dishonest Days was about one failed relationship that was due to me lying and going through very distrustful states of mind. Now, this Dog Fox Leash Project, what makes this important is because after I came out of all of that and I reconnected with myself, I understood self-empowerment. I understood loyalty to the self. And I understood positive selfishness. You know, selfless selfishness is basically where you do more for yourself, because once there's an imbalance, and there's always inequality. If you look at the economics of the world, there's less rich people who have more money than all the people who have less money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The 99, the 1%.
Yeah, you can't positively help anybody if you're struggling with them. And I realized that was one of my issues when it came to relationships. And I'm not even just talking about with women. I'm talking about with friends. I'm talking about with family. I'm talking about with my fans and business. You know, if you are hurt and you're suffering and you're going through turmoil and you keep using this to siphon energy from other people in relationships, it's going to cause a massive power drain for you and the people around you, and you're not going to move your movement forward, you know? So Dog Fox Leash was about me being loyal to myself, me being clever and cunning around people, but that benefiting me helps me benefit everybody else. Watching out for me helps me watch out for everybody else.
Well, you have to make yourself happy. I'm going to digress.
Yeah.
In order for anybody else that you're around to be happy, you have to be happy.
Yes.
Like, you cannot have there's a lot of people that are watch this and hear this. You have to be happy first in order to have a partner that's happy. If you want to get married or whatever it is, you have to be happy first. So you got to stick to your Northern Star, so to speak.
Yeah.
And emotions are contagious. Northern Star is art, is music. And you've stuck to that since you were 13 years old, man.
I'm lost in the art. I'm lost in the art.
The process is probably very important to you, right? And we won't get too into that because I know that's deep for a lot of people here in Arkansas, you know, represent Arkansas. We got a lot of listeners here, but that's very important, the process. Yeah.
And I'll touch on process real quick.
I love the process of just doing this, man. Having this conversation podcast, in which I like.
Yeah.
We've been on for about 25 minutes. I know you don't have but like 5-10 more minutes, and I appreciate your time. But like, the process is so freaking important, and that's what I hope people get from this: is enjoy what you're doing and the process of doing it.
Of course, and the process of progress is very important to me, not only in art but in life, you know, with my people, with my community. There's a lot going on right now, and I'm not gonna get into the fuck ton of conspiracy theories when it comes to COVID and our presidency and the things going on up the ladder, you know, but I will say, when it comes to Black Lives Matter, which we all know. Actually, I can't even, it's fucked up that I can't even confidently say we all know. Because I'm pretty sure there's still some people who don't.
I'm not mean to laugh, but you're right. Yeah, not everybody knows. But we need to, I'm glad you brought this transition up, man. That's the perfect transition. You know we were going to talk about it, but this is something that is very important. And it's a platform that I have as a white Caucasian male. It's like, I need to bring this up because that's how I do my job on this Black Lives Matter topic. Is we have a lot of inequality in this world. And so something I'm very, very interested to hear from you, as I've learned so much the past like month that I didn't even know. I'm gonna give you an example, not to talk too much, but I'm gonna give you an example.
Go.
Didn't know that you weren't supposed to call Black people African Americans. You call them Black people. And I heard this from a Joe Rogan podcast. He was talking, I think, like Colin Noir or something. That I think that's his name. And because not every Black person is from Africa.
Right.
So they're not all African Americans. Black is just white. It's the same thing as like calling a white man a white man. It's a Black man is Black. Yeah. But that's something that it's almost taboo. Like many people think you need to say African American. You don't. You need to say a Black man.
I think the issue there for everybody listening is that the innate guilt felt by the ignorance of what's really going on, but they kind of want to pander to not step on any toes. So I don't really know much about you or what you're going through or where things are at, but I do feel like if I called you Black, it would be wrong. And I know, statistically speaking, African-American is politically correct term. So I'm going to use that to be safe. But in reality, that's the least safe thing you could do because it's completely incorrect. You know, that was something put in school systems and workforces for division. We are the United States of America, but in every form and fashion, we divide ourselves, whether it's race, whether it's economic class, whether it's systems, whether it's social groups.
Y'all got to be watching this. This is good, y'all.
We are supposed to be united in all ways, shapes, and forms. It was the unity that was supposed to have built this place when we stole it. And that's fucked up in itself. But if we're going back to basics, let's take it all the way back. You know, in the unity that came from this this ravaging didn't even start unified. It sort of started like one person came in and, let's say, to not get overly factual or too theoretical, one person comes in, says, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And let's go take these people. Let's buy this workforce. Let's buy this labor force, whether it's color or any other form of, you know, segregation,
whatever it is.
Yeah. And we're going to use that. And we're going to build on the backs of these broken people. Okay. That was instance one, two, or three of, okay, all of this is fucked up. You can say instance one was stepping on land that wasn't yours. And
back in the day before we even knew America, right?
Yeah. Because they were in the Indigenous people were already here, you know? Yeah. So for them to do what they did and then bring more people over here and do what they continued to do and then try to call it united when from the start everything was divided. And I don't want them to call this place the divisive states of America. You feel me? I'm not saying you have to completely rename it because of other places like, what is it? Colombia, Barbados type shit. Like,
yeah.
Why don't we just have a regular name? Why don't we have a regular name? No, it's nothing like that. It's just the fact that there is such a manipulative guise to everything said in America. And that's probably why people feel the need to tiptoe around shit. Everything that you're being told is right is wrong. And everything that you're being told is wrong may not be the most correct, but it might actually save your life in a sense. You feel me?
Man, that makes so much sense. Like, and I hope people that are listening to this, that we can articulate that well to them, because this...
Do your own research. Connect with your own people. Talk to people.
Really. Great question. That's what I was going to get into. And expand on that. What can, as white Caucasian people of different descent, what can we do better besides educate ourselves? How can we help bridge that gap? Because there is an inequality in this country. We all know that. And you know that more than me. I know it. You've seen it more than me. That's just facts. How can we bridge that gap to make it more equal?
I want to start with legacies and nepotism. Okay.
Yeah.
There are legacies left in America of big business, corporations, whether it's big pharma, whether it's our governments. Okay. These are people. Oh, also our school systems, fraternities and sororities. These are people who majority white, some black owned, but majority white, have power and usually take this power and pass it down to their nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, sisters, brothers, stuff like that. Okay. If you treat thy neighbor like thy brother, all right. If you, Keaton, end up in big business and you and I develop a close relationship, I'm not going to say I would expect you to hire me, but if you want to know how you can help, hire me. You know, give me a job opportunity. And when you pass that big business down to, and I'm saying it from your perspective because it's usually the white male in America who ends up in these powerful business.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Or so, 90% of the time.
Yeah. So, you know, tell your son, hey, yeah, you're going to want to give this business to your son. Yeah, you're going to want to give these opportunities to your daughters and nephews and nieces. But let's do more when we're passing out these business opportunities to look at talented, underserved black people who are just as deserving. Because economy in a capitalist society is where it really takes place in the heart. And we can talk about, you know, in the black community, oh, build black-owned businesses. Let's exclude all the white people until we figure out what's really going on. Yeah, that's great, but that don't do shit because more division. And I get it. There are things being said in white homes about black people behind closed doors that black people just can't trust because people are two-faced, okay? And there are things being said in black homes about white people that white people can't trust because people are two-faced. This isn't a black and white thing. This is a people thing. This is a human thing, okay? So if we're going to unify, we need to look at the society we live in. If we don't plan on changing capitalism, we need to plan on changing how we approach each other in this capitalist society and how we help and lend a helping hand in this capitalist society. And it's all going to center around job opportunities and where the next talent or profession is going to be handed off. So hand the opportunities to the people you can.
Hand the opportunities to the people that you can that are deserving.
That are deserving.
Like, it doesn't matter if you're white or black.
It doesn't matter if you're white or black.
If you don't work, then, or if you're not working hard, you don't deserve a job. But I see, man, I've seen this just personally, and I'm a white male. I've seen so, I actually feel like.
Can I pause you real quick for a second? Because, you know, another thing, because we do want to give the job to people who are deserving, right? But I also want it to be said that when the white person is looking for who's deserving, quit fixating immediately on the next white person.
Yes.
That's exactly what happens.
Image.
They think of, so who's deserving of this position, and they seek 150,000 white people before they even look at the next black person or Hispanic. And I'm going to tell you, the black person will likely be, and this is not me trying to stereotype, but I do like to look at character archetypes, okay? Black people in today's society are usually more creative. Hispanic people are usually more hardworking. Okay?
Stereotypes.
So if you're looking for who's deserving and you need more creativity going on in your business, try scouting some black people. If you are looking for who's deserving and you realize the work ethic in your business is low, try looking for some Hispanic people. Try looking majority black, majority Hispanic. And not to say exclude any white people, but just know that the building is probably already full of them.
I'm going to go one deeper than that even. It's not even about race. I agree everything you just said. I do believe that, because I believe when you come from nothing, and which the statistics say that black people, Hispanic people, mm-hmm. even Chinese people, mm-hmm. often come mm-hmm. from less than the white male or the white right, right. woman or whatever, the white man.
Right.
You have this determination, you know, whether you can kind of picture that white man who's like born rich, the white kid who's born rich. He yeah. doesn't have a lot of determination or creativity. No. Oftentimes. That's a stereotype, but it's very, yeah. very true. Just like any other stereotype that exists.
Yeah. Character archetypes, man. This is how we make good movies.
And I'm saying that to break it down for people to yeah. understand, because character right. archetypes that might not make a lot of sense to people, but like, let's break it down. Simplicity. Mm-hmm. Articulate that for people. Mm-hmm. We need to do that. And that's everyone's job, especially people in roles that are a hiring role or
positions of power,
man position. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I'm glad we got in this topic, man, because there's so much that I believe that you can offer as far as value. And we may need a whole nother show to come on here. And I've had people come on here 2-3 times. I'm not opposed to you coming on again. I know you got to get off
I'll
of here.
I'll come back every week. I like it here.
I appreciate it. You need to get – I know you're making music, but I think you need to start a podcast up here in Arkansas and help some people out, because the way you articulate things, I know that people will gravitate towards this episode. And so with that said, I want to and finish whatever thought you have, by the way.
So I struggle with this myself. I learn a lot and my thoughts are crazy. And I know that to get to certain levels in life, you need a very, very high and healthy amount of crazy in you, right? But the articulation that makes sense to me, I'm not always sure it makes too much sense to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And while everybody always says, no, I love the way you speak, like, speak your mind, say what you're going to say, like, you're helping people, there's something in me that says, I'm not being clear enough, or I'm not articulating well enough, or this isn't being as easily understood as easily as it's flowing out of my mouth. And that's sort of like your God and your worm. You know, there's a part of you who create everything and you're controlling your destiny. And then there's a part of you who is fearing everything and succumbing to your destiny, you know? And yes, I could do a lot of good by teaching. And I do great when I'm teaching in person, whether it's music or whether it's life or, you know, art, or business. But when it comes to like drawing up a topic and then speaking and then just hoping that it's of value to somebody or hoping that somebody takes what they can from it and runs with it. I just don't have the, and this, like I said, it's a self issue. I don't have the, the audacity in me yet or the confidence in me yet to really believe that I'm giving something of great value to somebody. This is my start.
That's why people need to listen to your music though, because music is different than a podcast. The podcast, we're rolling back and forth, throwing ideas out there live on Facebook and everything. We had a good, you know, I've seen people put some comments in here that are very interesting. And
yeah,
but the thing about music is you get time to think about it and articulate right. that thought. And you're very right. good about that, especially with what I've heard from you. And so I'll definitely drop your link. Like I've mentioned, this show will be on YouTube. If anybody on Facebook or Instagram wants to watch this, mm-hmm. I'm going to drop that link on YouTube. But where, Suki, as hard as your name is to spell, I need you to spell that for people. Tell people where they can find you. And
right.
inspired that name, by the way, Suki.
So one, it's TSUKIYOMI. That's Tsukiyomi. TSUKIYOMI. Said like tsunami with a silent T. You can find me on all platforms, Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Deezer. You can Shazam something random and I'll pop up. What inspired that is, also you can text me. If you want to take my number and shoot me a text and you think I'm interesting, you really want to pick my brain and get to know me. I communicate with everybody. +1 if you're out the country, 501-508-0396. +1 if you're out the country.
The 501.
508-0396. But what inspired the name Tsukiyomi was I was an indigo child and I hung around a lot of moon children. And these are basically people who are very spiritual in nature and sort of non-denominational kind of children who you get more senses than religion. Let's just say that. And we can go back into this crazy. I'm not going to say too much on this, but I'm clairvoyant. I have claircognizance. All right. The reason I can make music and make art and see things so interestingly is because my senses sense beyond my senses. I don't feel like I have 5 or 6 senses. I feel like I have 360-degree senses. All right. I can feel just off of existing. I hear a sound. I see a vision. I see a piece of art. I look somebody in the eyes. I touch skin. I touch concrete. Whatever I'm sensing in any way that I'm sensing processes on a completely different magnitude. And then I have to take what I process and articulate it back. And that made people say, oh, you're not a moon child, you're a moon god. And I was like, okay, cool. So as a child, they were always calling me moon god. So then when I started making music, I was like 14. My middle name is Padre. Not gonna get into why that is, but my middle name is Padre. And my auntie said I was extreme, so she called me Padrex because it was like an X at the end of Dre. So I was Drex, and then it was like Drex the Moon God. We were really into like OFWGKTA, Tyler the Creator, all of that. So it was like Drex the Moon God. And then as I grew older and I was doing research, you know, I started speaking Japanese, got really into the Shinto religion, mythology, whatever. As I was looking
into anime
that,
too, right?
Huh?
You're into anime a little bit too, right?
Yeah. But it's primarily cultural. So, but as I was looking into the book, I believe it was the Kojiki. The Kojiki was stating how Tsukuyomi came into existence and how Tsukuyomi was the god of the moon. And I'm not going to explain the entire backstory. You can go read the Kojiki yourself. But essentially, as Tsukuyomi was born and became the god of the moon, it became more apparent to me what my name was. And I was just like, oh, I like that. That makes more sense than just moon god, you know? And when it came to branding and rehashing and all of this other stuff, it was just like, you know what, I'm Tsukuyomi. And it didn't instantly become like a thing where I was saying it. It was more so where it was just in the music, and I had Japanese friends who would call me Tsuki because like my nickname was moon god. Like this was something that anybody would see me and just be like, yo, you're like a god. Like it's crazy, you just have this energy, and this is no bullshit. I'm not gassing myself up, I wouldn't do that. Like this is real life story. So I had friends in Japan who were calling me moon, and moon in Japanese is Tsuki. So when they were calling me Tsuki, it was like, oh, Tsukuyomi. And Tsukuyomi, I believe, roughly translates to moon reader.
Makes more sense now. Damn. Okay. So yeah. Tsuki, moon, got it. Nah, that, oh, I'm connecting now. I'm seeing it. Especially because you view things, you're very good at noticing, especially because I've seen you in person, I've met you in person, at noticing the room and playing the room and seeing all the emotions that come around the room, 360, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I like that. Man, I think that will resonate with people. The only problem I have is we got to learn how to spell that. So I will drop that comment just so y'all know. I'll drop that on here for y'all to spell.
Tsukiyomi.
Yes. 8 letters.
I was very upset the other day because I wanted to find a Drake song on, you know, Voice. Voice is about to be really, really big when it comes to search engines. Okay. People are searching things by voice like crazy. And I wanted to find a Drake song. And I found it so easy, and I wanted to keep finding Drake songs, and I found a bunch of Drake songs really, really easily by voice. And then somebody called up from across the room to call out one of my songs, and like it's almost like there was a fucking glitch in the system. The platforms didn't know who to point to or what to do. And I was like, oh my god, I have a SEO issue when it comes to vocal recognition of my name and song, so I have to fix that. But that was just
you always got to be improving though. That's you're spot on. Again, that's a conversation we definitely got to have, because I know you're running low on time, but that's a conversation that we're going to have in the future, because the voice is it is the future. Like if you're listening to this on Spotify, on YouTube, you know, you can do so many things other than just listen to this. You can be working out, you can be running, you can be walking the dog. The dog could be taking a shit. You know, you don't know what people are going to be doing while they're listening to this. So that's the value of voice. And if you're willing to learn, which I know you and I are, it's just is our audience, hopefully most of them are, if they're willing to learn, like, man, voice is so important. Just put that positivity in your ears, you know, instead of that negative. There's so much negativity out there.
Yeah. See, and I don't want to rant any further on about that area, but I did have a thought when you just said what you said, and it was about people not being willing to learn. And I said something earlier about how
gotta get this
when you're grinding for what you want, it's pretty thankless, you know? It's pretty thankless, the hours you put in, and the fact that, man, there are so many people who I know I reached out to dozens of times and done work with or wanted to work with, and they don't recognize me until I hit certain milestones. You feel me? They come back like, oh, they knew I was going to make it. They knew I was going to be at this level, that level, and now they're really ready to see where things can go with us. And I'm like, I'll do the work just because it's still a good opportunity. But on the inside, I know, like, why I'm now being looked at the way I'm looked at. And, yeah, I'm not going to say when I was lower, I should have expected, like, a handout or work or something because I hadn't put in the work yet. But your value is intrinsic. It's there no matter what level you're at. So when people try to, I guess, game you up only after you've leveled up, be aware of what you're doing and be wise about the intentions of other people. Because it's, like I said, it's very thankless. And this is another reason to not bounce back, but now we're going to go forward to why it's hard for me to pick up teaching right now or trying to, I guess, drop gems and drop game. I know what I say is knowledgeable. I know the things that I do to help people. But the majority of what I do in music is already thankless enough. So for me to have to articulate these thoughts in verbs and try to make sure that they reach somebody who's going to take the knowledge and apply it and use it is like asking to be thankless times two.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you, man. So, bam.
So I much prefer that if you want to learn something from me, because it's probably still going to be a while. You're going to see me on some podcasts. You're going to see me a bit of here and there and everywhere.
We're going to see a lot more of you. Let's be honest. Don't be humble. We're going to see you. We're going to see you. I'm just happy that I got you on here first because I can't wait to see you blow up. And attention, what you're talking about, is attention. Like, once you get that attention of people, you do have to articulate, but people are fixated on attention. And I think, I hope that this podcast, this YouTube show can help people give you more attention, because when you blow up, because I know you got that talent.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen.
And I really hope that the people that I have supporting me tune in when I tell them to tune into this, because I want to make sure that we're lending them a hand. I feel like what we're saying and what we're doing is really valuable. But on top of what I was saying, for people who actually want to be in contact with me, text me, +1-508-0396. It's really me. It's not some automated service.
5096?
501-508-0396.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'll make sure to drop that in the link so people do text you.
Yeah. Sure. I just really want people to know, like, because when I first started, I got cussed out a lot by a lot of people. They were wondering, like, how in the hell was I in their phone on a regular basis so much other shit.
I get it too, bro. I get it too.
And I like, look, I'm organized. Look, I'm organized. It's really me over here.
It really is,
But I do better knowing that I can link up with people. Like, I'll talk to, like, 10, 15, 20 fans at a time in the same area, and, like, 8 to 10 of them will show up at a spot, and we'll all start kicking it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to really make lifelong connections with these people that's beyond the music. It's beyond an event. It's beyond a promotion. It's beyond marketing. It's a real-life connection where I just so happen to be checking up on people. Because I do real-life check-ins, you know? I'll ask people, how's it going?
You do.
You know? What are you doing?
Yeah. Every week or two, you do it with me. I can attain that, guys. I'm subscribed to a text message system. Y'all should do it. I'm serious.
Yeah, like the music is great, but I really go beyond to try to make a personal connection and establish with people beyond just, like, constantly putting music in your phone. Like, I want to know you. I want to make sure that we're good people.
Build that relationship. So important in the future.
If you want to know me and you want to learn from me and I'm not doing podcasts or whatever, then just talk to me for real. And I promise you, whatever you want to know will probably accidentally fall out my mouth. Like,
bro, dude, there's a lot of value in this. I love it. I love it. We got to get you, first off, we got to get you, the way you articulate things, we got to get you on a podcast. We got to get you starting one. We can call it Suki, whatever you want to say, like Arkansas rap, I don't know, but we got to get you started with the podcast. But
yeah,
I'll help you out with that a little bit later. So
to be honest, if I had a podcast, it would likely be more about philosophy and attaching meaning to life. I'm really
well. A lot of what we talked about today is philosophy and attaching meaning to life. So,
like, I'm good at music and business, and I can give music and business tips. But in reality, like, I feel like if I was the person to be giving music and business tips for real, I would. I'm not gonna say I'm not at a high level right now compared to people who generally make music. I'm at a very high level, but I'm still not high enough where I want to be to say, like, I want to have a whole channel of me just giving good advice. What I do know is life. I do know meaning. I do know how to think and process and perceive. And I know that that's something most people struggle with when it comes to going through, whether it's a tough time, a great time. Some people go through happy times in life and get sad because they're too happy.
That's true.
Like,
you're too high on yourself. You get too high. You gotta stay level-headed.
So much better at articulating existential crisis. Because we exist. We exist, and a lot of people exist and don't even know how to exist. They're just here.
And that just goes back to people thinking that, you got to think for yourself. You got to be curious. And if you have not watched this whole show, everybody, I urge you to rewind, go back, and check out this, because you will understand what Suki and I are talking about here. And I know your real name, Jay. I'm going to keep it there. but I'm going to just keep it there. But I urge you to go back and listen to this whole episode, because there's a lot of value here. And, you know, if you want to reach out, Suki is there. He will respond to you. Send him a message, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud, Spotify. It doesn't matter. Wherever you're at, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. And
I appreciate you inviting me. And I also want to challenge everybody here right now. I got a challenge. And
challenge it.
So I'm going to be honest.
Do it. End it on this. Let's end it on some honesty. Come on.
Look. I wanted to make a challenge where you get connected with me and you help me push the music. But in reality, I just want to challenge you to wake up tomorrow and lend a hand.
That's the whole premise of the show. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you for coming on, man. Like, that means a lot that you would end it like that, because that is the whole premise. And I believe that this will help some people. We went a little longer than I know you had time for, but
I don't regret it.
I'm excited to have people reach out.
What would I want
to
spend my time doing? I'm helping people. I'm lending a hand. Are you?
Hey, Suki, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Much power to you. Seriously. Love you, brother. And I can't wait to have you on again.
Yes, sir.